Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number three on FST. Mike and George. I'm playing hurt. There's no luck. I'm not going to lie to you folks.
You know, with the new gambling rules, Mike, we all have an over-under on when you're going to die. 11:20, a good guess?
How many states can you bet on me to keel over? Like 11 states now?
It's getting there. It's getting up there, though.
Man, it's rough. Not going to lie. I had a family vacation this week. It was all lovely. Spent some time at the beach, and kids were loving it. And right around Thursday, started feeling it coming on. And hit me like a ton of bricks Thursday night. And for the next 48 hours, I've been in rough waters here. But I'm powering through with the help of my compadre, George Kurtz, who will be on not just through the end of this show for the next 55 minutes, but also Fantasy Football Frenzy with Corey Parson. That's from 12 to 2. And then I believe we still have Fantasy Baseball Hour, or the Tout Wars Fantasy Baseball Hour. It's just 2 hours long, from 2 to 4. That's Lauren Michaels and Justin Mason and Todd Zola, I think, chimes in there as well. I believe we still have that. There will be schedule changes coming up for the football season. I can tell you that I will now be on weekday mornings from 8 to 9, just a quick hour, myself and Dane Martinez. That starts tomorrow. You'll be able to hear me Monday through Friday. I'll be on Sunday mornings during the football season. Saturday mornings will go away for me, but George will then be on Saturday mornings. So that's a little taste of what we have going on. George will be on with Kevin Walsh. I think time is to be determined, although, George, you may already know what the time is because we have a college football show starting September 1st as well.
I believe it's at 8 to 10 offhand that Kevin and I will be doing, and then I'm doing Sunday afternoons with Joe Galina and Lawyer Michaels from 4:30 to 9. So we're covering the second half of the NFL games there and going over the first half of the NFL games on Fantasy and Fantasy Football Live, which I did last year, which is a lot of fun, watching the games, going over Fantasy Impact. Only time it's not fun is when one of your fantasy players gets hurt.
That's right. So we'll have a full slate of Sunday programming, basically starting at 9 a.m. all the way through 10 p.m. at night. Scott Engel will be on with myself, Kevin Walsh, Corey Parson, you got Gabe Morency. We got a whole crew of people that'll be contributing on Sundays. But you'll hear me tomorrow morning. If I don't die in this next hour or in the next, 21 hours, you'll hear me. So fingers crossed. Some of you probably, I could do without him, but I got a family.
Some are betting on the under.
I got a family, so just think about them. Some are taking the under. Look, if I'm a betting man, I might short myself here too. Like I like the death odds more than I like the alive odds in the next hour, based on the way I feel. So, which team to go to next? We had a whole bunch of games yesterday, so trying to go around here. Seattle Chargers. That's where I wanted to go next. By the way, just to wrap up, George hammering the Bears there at the end of the previous hour. They are 6.5 is the win total, minus 135 for the over. So you're paying more for the over, which means Vegas likes it, which probably would somewhere play to your point about, like, they're not going to have an 8-game losing streak. Like, that's pretty hard to do unless you're one of the worst teams. Like, if you said at one point, will the Bills or Miami have an 8-game losing streak? Like, you could see it. Last year, Browns, Niners, you could see that. But it would be hard for the Bears to, like, go 6-1, I think you had them, and then dump their last 8. So that would be hard to do. So in any event, Vegas right now kind of likes that Bears over. They really like the New England over at 11. The one team that you've been hammering all morning, so that their win total, Miami's win total, has pushed up a half a win over the last month. And a lot of it has to – so the sharp bettors have been on the Miami thing. And I will get to Chargers-Seahawks in a moment. But the sharp bettors have been on Miami. And a lot of it has to do with schedule. And let me – I want to go to this because I went over this with Kevin, I believe, last week. But just hear me out on this for a second because I know you think that they stink. They might be the worst team or the second worst team in the whole league. But here's their schedule. So they start hosting a team, Tennessee, who we both like, but Miami's going to be super hot, obviously.
Loss.
So you give them the L there. Then they go to the Jets. Could be a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I'll give them a win there.
Okay. Then they get Oakland in Miami Heat, a 1 o'clock Eastern game. So that's basically Oakland playing at 10 o'clock in the morning local time in Miami Heat. Wearing those black jerseys. That could be a tough spot for Oakland, right?
It can be. It's probably a coin toss game. All right, we'll go with the home team.
Okay. Then they go to New England.
Loss.
Yeah. Then they go to Cincinnati.
Probably another coin toss. I'm going to give them a loss this time, though.
Okay.
Can't win all the coin tosses.
Then they host Chicago.
I think I said Bears win. Yeah, we already went through that. Bears win.
Okay. Then they host Detroit.
Loss.
At Houston.
Loss.
Hosting the Jets.
Win.
Okay.
Even though in reality it's probably a split between the Jets and Miami because they're both, neither one's a good team. Still, we got three wins so far.
Yeah, yeah. At Green Bay.
Loss.
Then they got the bye week.
That's Indy. A win.
Yeah, at Indy.
Win.
Mm-hmm. Then they host Buffalo.
Win.
Hosting New England.
Loss.
New England does not do well. In
loss.
Miami, historically.
Loss.
At Minnesota, big fat L right there. Then they host the Jags, and they host Buffalo.
So that's about six
wins,
I'm
sorry.
I think.
Sorry, they're at Buffalo.
Well, unless it's snowing there, I'll give them a W.
Okay. And you had them losing to Jacksonville, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you actually have them at 5. So you're comfortably under. But I think the thought process is that they get the Titans, which are a tough team, and the Raiders, which are a coin flip type of game, they get them at home in Miami Heat, which is tough. They get to host Chicago, which is an okay team. I'm down on the Bears. George is a little higher on them. And they get Detroit at home. So they sort of on those coin flip type games, it favors them to be at home. They get New England on the road and the Jets on the road early, so they're not dealing with bad weather. Their only really bad weather game is at Green Bay in November. They get Houston and Indy and Minnesota indoors. The only other bad weather game they would see is the final week of the season, December 30th at Buffalo. So they get home games against the Bills in New England in December and the Jags in December. So like all throughout December, they have 5 games in the month of December. Only one is a bad weather game. It's at Buffalo the last week of the season. So I think that's the thought process based on some of these coin flip games that we talked about that the sharp bettors have been on them. So
the
it's interesting.
They're not a good team.
I know.
I don't care about the weather. Who cares about the weather? They're not a good team. They have no passing game. Their defense is a dumpster fire right now, which, by the way, this comes from the beat writers from Miami. The defense can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
The running game could be above average. It could be, but that's it. Tannehill's never proven he can do anything. And I said, if he can, he has no one to throw to. This is a bad team. They get wins because they're in a bad division. You know, outside of New England, I mean, Jets are nothing. Buffalo, if they were in a better division, they would be in a whole heap of trouble. But this is a bad, bad team. I don't care about the weather. I don't see how that plays any part in any of this, other than the heat. I get the heat in the beginning. What they do in December probably hurts them more than anything else. They don't have anything they can rely on. It's not they have a great ground attack where they can go run the ball in cold weather. Their offensive line's average at best as well. So, I'm not a big fan of this team at all. I don't see where the weather plays a true part. Tennessee's a much better team. I don't care how hot it is.
Oakland, I agree with you.
There's an argument we can make. If it's hot on September 23rd, Oakland's another average team at best. You know, Detroit's a good team. So I don't see where October 21st, the weather won't matter anyway. It won't be hot then. Detroit shouldn't have a problem with Miami.
Detroit's caught right now. They have cancer, but they're caught against Minnesota being on the rise and the Packers having the best player in the whole league, conceivably. So that's what's tough about Detroit, consistently going 9-7 and 8-8.
They're in the wrong conference.
I can't make an argument for you that they'll be any better than they were a year ago, based on all the things that have happened around them. So let's turn the page over to Seahawks Chargers, because that game happened last night. I didn't get a chance to see any of that one. 24-14, Chargers get the win. Phil Rivers was in there, and Russell Wilson was in there. 6 of 7 for 62 yards for Rivers, 13 of 21 for Wilson, 193 yards. So they got out there. He played for a while. Chris Carson got the most carries there, 9 of 34, nothing for Penny. And on the Chargers side, Melvin Gordon, 10 carries, 35 yards, and a score. He had a 14-yard run. Beyond that, let me see, receiving numbers. Jerron Brown, 2 for 74. C.J. Procise, 6 catches for 35 yards there. Doug Baldwin's been nursing some injuries that he didn't play. Mike Williams, we talked about the 25-yard touchdown earlier. Tyrell Williams, 1 catch for 25 yards. Keenan Allen, 2 for 18. Melvin Gordon, 2 more catches for 18. So 12 touches for Melvin Gordon, and he racked up 53 yards. So, look, Melvin Gordon's a first-round pick. Rashad Penny is the rookie running back behind the shaky offensive line. Well, the quarterbacks, first of all, you have Russell Wilson. I think I heard you say yesterday you bumped him down to number 3 based on Tom Brady looking as sharp as he's looked. And, you know, offensive line questions in Seattle and all that kind of stuff. I think you have Brady at 2 and Russell Wilson at 3, right? So no qualms about him being an elite fan quarterback this year.
Well, I did drop him from 2 to 3. Originally, I had him at 2. And then I dropped him. I mean, I think you have to. Baldwin, okay, he's running sprints now. He'll probably be ready for week 1, but going to miss most of the preseason. That's a concern. Rashad Penny's out now, until once again week 1, week 2. So they have some issues on offense there. The offensive line is still average at best. And, man, if Baldwin ever does get hurt, who's he throwing to, Mike? I mean, really, who's he throwing to?
It's been like this. And, like, they haven't really addressed it. It is shocking to me that they just keep going in. They're like, we'll just piece it together behind Doug Baldwin. Tyler Lockett has been there. This is 15-16, 17, 16, 4th season. Amara Darbo is there. Brandon Marshall. Does anybody think he even really wants to play anymore?
It's strange.
I'm surprised he's still playing.
I think you put it perfectly. It's not like they don't know what the problem is, but they don't seem to take care of it. I think they say, hey, Russell, just run around back there behind the line of scrimmage, run around and make a play. That's really their offensive scheme, it seems like, sometimes. You know, you don't have Jimmy Graham anymore. Not that he was the Graham he was at New Orleans, but he was still a very good red zone threat. He's gone. You don't even have Paul Richardson, who I'm not in love with anyway, but he was something there. I mean, you had Brandon Marshall, really? Does he even make the team? No, he probably does, but it's like, fantasy-wise, he's nowhere near what he used to be. No one's even drafting him. So, this is a team it's amazing how fast they have fallen. Really, the defense is nowhere near what it used to be. Legion of Boom is no more. And if Earl Thomas
really
come back, they literally are no more. And they're going to give up points like there's no tomorrow. It's just, I don't want to say it's sad, but it's scary. And a lot of it's a salary cap error, and they've had injuries that have hurt it, but they haven't done the greatest job of drafting, which is why I was surprised when they went in the first round, when they took Rashad Penny first round. I understand running back, he may be a good running back, but running backs can be found. I was surprised they would pair up on an offensive lineman like Will Hernandez, who the Giants nabbed 5 or 6 picks later. That was their obvious area of need, yet they sort of ignored it.
Agreed. And that defense, they've drafted a whole bunch of young players in the last 3 seasons to try to backfill guys that they knew, at least in a couple of instances, knew were going to leave. But if you're looking at the starting, you know, the depth chart right now, Jaron Reed, third-year defensive tackle, Frank Clark, fourth-year defensive end. You got Barkevious Mingo, who's on this might be his 4th team. Bobby Wagner is obviously great middle linebacker. And by the way, he could see a billion tackles this year. So even as he gets becomes more of a veteran, as good as he is, he might have a billion tackles because I don't know how much this defensive line is going to stop the run. But a whole bunch of guys there that, as you said, they're sort of unproven all the way around. They didn't draft any wide receivers this year. They drafted two last year, a seventh-round pick and a third-round pick in Darbo. But I haven't heard him really coming to the forefront. So when it comes to Penny, because I think that Baldwin, look, if Baldwin's healthy, he's a guy that I'm going to like and I'm going to count on because he's going to be heavily targeted, especially in PPR leagues. But when it comes to Rashad Penny, right now I'm seeing him as the 21st running back off the board, 51st overall. Like, I don't have a lot of confidence in it. And I'd probably be looking in other directions. Like, you have Alex Collins right before him, Lamar Miller right after him. It's not somebody I want. But Mark Ingram, a couple of picks later there. Royce Freeman, a couple of picks after that. Like, I'd rather, like, take a shot with Mark Ingram and wait on him than going all in with Rashad Penny as, like, my second back. You know, Mark Ingram would have to be my third, but you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And before we leave our little break here, Jamaal Charles going to have a little visit to Washington, to the Washington Redskins and Orleans Dark, where apparently he's already visiting there. So the Redskins are indeed calling in some, trying to find some reinforcements, guys that are on the street. But I wonder if their running back ends up being somebody released when the first cuts are made.
Entirely possible. Not great if you're betting on the Washington running game. It's Mike and George on FST. We'll come back. We'll keep talking Chargers and Seahawks after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Back on FST, hour number three. A little STP. A lot of acronyms going on right now on FNTSY. Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls, registering all the time, and great promotions for free prizes. So keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest. Opening about a week before NFL kickoff, go to FantasyFactor.com. That's FantasyFactor.com. So we were talking Seahawks. George probably firmly has that as a dumpster fire of a team. You really think they could, like, fall off a cliff, it sounds like.
No, because you got Russell Wilson. Russell, yeah. He'll do some damage there, and it's not the greatest division. You know, you do have the Rams there, you have San Fran, Arizona's not so good. No, I don't think they're a dumpster fire of a team. I don't. I think they have issues, okay. But you know, it's the NFL. If you have a great quarterback, which they do, that can overcome a lot.
Back. Sorry about the technical issues, but we're back talking Seahawks and Chargers. George, I wanted to get to you, go through some of these Seahawks games. Right now, Vegas has them as an 8 on the over-under. So no hook on the number right now. I'm just looking at one particular book. So I'll figure, you know, we'll map this stuff as it gets closer and closer. I'll be doing over-under contest again, so I want to make sure that, you know, people get a sense of what I think on all the over-unders as we get closer. But I'm going to take you through this one, George. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mike.
Okay, good. So here's Seattle. 8 is the number. You want to give me a call before we go game by game?
Don't want to give you a call?
Yeah, like, do you want to stay over or under before we go game by game?
I think 8's probably right around the number here. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a poor team either. Offhand, I'm going to say I'd go under, I think.
Okay. So start at Denver.
I'm going to give them, if it was at home, I'd probably give them the nod here. I think this is, well, one of those home field advantages things. So it's at Denver, I'll give Denver the nod.
At Chicago.
Monday night game. I wonder if that would be Trubisky's first Monday night game. I don't know if
Chicago, the W there.
Starting them off 0-2 against two okay teams, not great teams. Oh, God. No, I'm going to give him a win against Chicago. 1-1.
Okay. So that bumps you down on Chicago, by the way. So it gives you so it bumps you down a win on Chicago, which allows you to not have.
Oh, did I give him a W before?
I think you did.
I think that was their one loss.
Okay, my bad. So, all right, so that's a W against Chicago. Hosting Dallas.
Another one of these coin flip games. Where once again, if it was in Dallas, I'd go Dallas. In Seattle, I'll go Seattle.
At Arizona.
Win.
Hosting the Rams.
Loss.
At the Raiders.
Win.
You got them 4-2 going into their bye week.
Yeah, that's about to change real quick, though.
At Detroit.
Loss. I'll give Detroit a win.
Hosting the Chargers.
Loss.
Whoa. At the Rams.
Loss.
Hosting Green Bay.
Loss.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the problem Panthers. Right there. Win.
Hosting the Niners.
I think they're going 1-1 versus the Niners. So I'll give them a win at home.
I agree. Hosting the Vikings. That would be a big one. This would be a big
loss.
One for the over-under. Loss. At the Niners, you said loss there. Chiefs hosting.
Win.
And here it is. This is win number 8, hosting Arizona.
Yeah, there's the win.
So you're on the number there. I tend to agree with most of what you did there. So that would be a team that I would stay away from. But if you're pushing me, I would say under. I think the offense, look, what he did last year, Wilson, was incredible. They were terrible running the ball and terrible up front. And he did get hurt, and then he just played through it and well. And it was, yeah, there was a little bit of a downtick after he rolled his ankle, but it was amazing that he was out there and playing the way that he did. So I would have to think that at some point that luck would run out of him avoiding injury if that offensive line continues to be as bad as they were a year ago. I do think they'll be better, but I don't think they're great. So so there you go. Let's talk Chargers. We got Melvin Gordon. He's the 9th running back off the board, 11th overall. This is on standard scoring. I don't know why it keeps reverting to that, but I'll have to fix that in a second. Yeah, and there he is. He actually bumps up. He's 8th running back off the board, 11th overall, right behind Barkley and Hunt, right in front of Fournette and Cook.
I am his 9th. I have Fournette ahead of him. You know, yeah. So that's the only difference there. I love Melvin Gordon. I love this Chargers team, Mike. I truly do. I wish they could stay healthy.
You're not alone.
I mean, how much better would you feel though if Henry was didn't suffer the ACL? Mm-hmm. You know, if they lost Verrett too, so they've already suffered some significant injuries. That's before we even get rolling here. You know, more injuries are coming. You know, so I said I feel better about it, but I think they are the class of that division right now, the AFC West. Hopefully, kicking problems doesn't keep them out of the playoffs once again.
And it has played a role for them in the past. So there's Gordon. As far as QB is concerned, Phil Rivers, we've talked about a lot. He always just sort of gets overlooked. I think people are just, I don't know if they're bored with him or I don't know what it is. He does have a penchant for turning the ball over, but I think a lot has been put on his shoulders to try and make plays. And, you know, he's turned the ball over a lot. The only thing I've always found, first of all, Phil Rivers is my dynasty league quarterback. He has been since the inception of the league that George and I are in, and I've won a couple of times, and he's been great. Like, he's just very consistent. He very rarely gets to that top five range, but he's in the QB1 conversation just every year. Like, you can book it. But this year, if you're liking this team, you would think that elevates him some from the 15th, where you find him now, behind Matty Ice and Jared Goff, right in front of Pat Mahomes and Dak Prescott.
Phillip Rivers gets no love in fantasy. Now, yeah. I'll say to you, the position is deep. All right, and that's one of the reasons why he gets no love. But to have him behind some of these players, he puts up similar numbers almost every season. And they're good numbers, right? I mean, I get the first seven guys. You definitely, you know, Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, Newton, Wentz, Watson, Breeze. Okay, I get that. You know, you're definitely taking those guys over.
Two of those guys are hurt. Still.
Well, yeah, Watson's not hurt still, but
Watson's not playing. And Wentz has been on 11-on-11 drills for weeks now, so I'm not all that worried about him. Andrew Luck, you want to take him above him? Okay, I don't really have an issue with Luck because when he's healthy and playing, he's good. But there's no one else to throw to there but T.Y. Hilton, and now Hilton's got a sprained shoulder. You know, so that concerns me somewhat. There literally is no one else to throw to. I mean, Jack Doyle, okay, yay. Cousins, you and I have already discussed Cousins today. Stafford is sort of in the Rivers class, where he gets no love either. We're assuming Garoppolo is going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, which maybe he is, but it's a bit of a risk. Ben can't throw on the road. You know, you mentioned Goff. Well, I think Goff. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
Yeah, like, it's really hurt you guys in the past.
Yeah.
You know, Mike, I said this yesterday. I said this a couple of times. I wonder, this is just me throwing stuff out there. Maybe it wasn't Ben's fault about the road. Maybe it was Todd Haley and the game plan and not taking as many chances on the road and not airing it out as much. I just wonder that. And that's one of the reasons, the friction between the two, that, you know, Ben always got the grief for the road, and it really wasn't him. He wanted to do more, but Haley didn't. You know, just throwing it out there. I just wonder. But either way, you know, people take Ben over Rivers. You know, Goff, I wonder with Goff, if he's going to be this generation's Troy Aikman, which obviously would be fantastic for the Rams Hall of Fame quarterback, but not a good fantasy one because they don't ask him to put the ball in the air 35, 40 times because you have great running back, great defense, but you don't need to. You know, you don't need to take the – you don't need to put that ball in the air. You can win without it. So I just wonder that. So I wouldn't want Goff as my quarterback one. You know, so I keep looking at Rivers falling down the list over and over again. I'm like, it's amazing. Is it because of his personality? You know, he's going to be a little brash, he can be a little bit of an ass at times.
Who cares?
Is it? Right, I agree. But I wonder
so
if that's
Dan
what
Dan Fouts.
I wonder if that's what – I love Dan Fouts. I wonder if that's what fantasy owners don't like about him. You know, that's why they drop him down. Is it because he has 11 kids or whatever he has? You know, hey, he's married over the same woman. Who cares?
He doesn't swear. He doesn't drink. The guy just is like fired up. This is one outlet. Well, obviously, not having kids.
apparently he has two outlets. Yeah. I would think so. Good baby.
Two vices.
He can field his own football team. I don't understand. I'll say it again. In the league, once again, these are super flex leagues and two quarterback leagues. But if Rivers is on my roster today and tomorrow in these drafts, I'm a very happy guy. Now, I'll take him as a quarterback one, more or less a quarterback two.
Yeah. I think if he's my QB1 in the super flex, I'll probably pick that second quarterback the very next round. But I'm still okay with it.
Correct. That's the key there.
I could have a Rivers Goff combo. I could have a Rivers Mahomes combo, something like that. I've noticed in these super flex sort of formats, Mahomes gets pushed up. Do you know what I mean? Because people like that upside, so they go from a little bit earlier in some of these super flex leagues. So you won't see that in a lot of rankings that you find online. But just keep that in mind. People go for the upside plays a little bit, especially at the quarterback position in super flex leagues. So let's talk about their receivers, because obviously you got Keenan Allen, so he's a top six guy right now, and keeps reverting to standard, so my apologies as I fumble with this one site. But he's still six overall. He's behind Michael Thomas and Julio Jones, and he's in front of Davante Adams and A.J. Green. I'm still with Julio and Michael Thomas over him, but you know, that Keenan Allen, Davante Adams, I think there's a discussion to be had there, but, I think it just depends what you think of their respective passing attacks. And Allen is targeted so heavily by Rivers, I think you can roll with him. They both have had an injury history, even though Allen's has been more significant, but like him a lot as a player. I didn't really have him much last year, so I didn't cash in, but I've historically had him on a lot of my teams.
And I said, I have it like you had. I actually have Adams ahead of Green. I think I had the exact same what you have. My rankings are on Fantasy Pros 9-1-1 or 9-11. Brown, Hopkins, Beckham, Thomas, Jones, Adams, Green, Allen. So I have Allen at number 8. You said it. Phillip Rivers is going to throw it to him a whole lot. You wonder if he'll be maybe a bigger red zone target now that there is no Hunter Henry. Although we hear they want to use Mike Williams sort of in that role, big target in the end zone there. So maybe Allen's his normal role there. So, but either way, I like Keenan Allen. No problem. He's maybe not the sexy name. Maybe that's why he doesn't get up there, you know, as far as being said an elite wide receiver. But he's certainly top 10. He's certainly a wide receiver 1.
And you have Mike Williams is the 53rd wide receiver off the board, so you're wide receiver 5. I think considering what you just said, that's some value there, because if he takes over part of that Hunter Henry red zone role, then while you may not see a huge volume of targets, you might see more significant touches down close to the end zone. And if this is a team that can rip off 10 or 11 wins, then you're looking at a decent amount of scoring happening, and Mike Williams could be the beneficiary of that.
Agreed. I mean, you've got Tyrell Williams there, too, which is why it's hard to rank him too. But he's also the top draft pick last year. You know, got hurt for most of it, so we didn't see what he can do. And now this year, he should be more integrated in the offense. So I have hope for Mike Williams, and I'll be rating him in my rankings. I think he's more of a wide receiver 4 at this point because of the red zone activity.
Mike Williams has hurt a lot in college, too. So my take on that is, I think while he is healthy, which he is right now, they're going to use him up as much as they can. Do you know what I mean? See what they have before it unravels, which it could. I didn't like the draft pick last year because of his injury history, coupled with Keenan Allen's injury history, but there's talent there, and I think you can see some value, certainly at wide receiver 5. We'll come back, wrap up the Chargers, talk about a couple other teams right after this.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Back here, last segment of Fantasy Sports Today before we head over to Fantasy Football Frenzy. That's Georgia staying on with Corey. Thanks for filling in today, by the way, buddy. Appreciate it. Gave Kevin Walsh a blow.
That just doesn't sound good at all, but you're welcome.
Yeah, a blow, a rest. Jeez, get easy.
Oh, come on. You know what? Next weekend. I had the greatest joke yesterday, and Joe Galina, he actually had audio problems, didn't even hear it. You know, next weekend in Major League Baseball, they have you can put nicknames on the back
of
your jersey. You know, emojis. It's stupid. I actually don't like it. But if you're going to do it, you got to roll with it here. And, you know, for the St. Louis Cardinals, they called up Harrison Bader. And listen, is there any chance? See, you got it already. Everybody else is starting to think about it. Is there any way on the planet that his nickname can't be Master?
I mean, it
at least
be.
Darth.
It should be, but obviously somebody in the league office is going to be like, "Yeah,
no, he won't be allowed to put that out." I'm talking about in the clubhouse, though. In a you know a men's professional sports league clubhouse, is there any chance?
There's a 90% chance that that's his nickname.
has to be.
There's got to be at least one meathead in that locker room that calls him Master. Has to be. Just like no doubt about it. I don't think he can go any other way, but for have somebody call him that. So before we're going to go to the Chargers total, see if George puts his money where his mouth is with the Chargers. But if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can elect an option to receive a 50% deposit bonus with a rollover requirement. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So our loyal listener, Steve G, had a super complicated couple of tweets there. Did you end up answering his question, or should we play it out on air? Because there's a lot going on there.
I did answer the question, but you're right. He sort of hit the top news that he could take the running backs before the wide receiver, so it was complicated.
He's got a 12-team keeper. He's confused what to do with his first three picks. He's keeping David Johnson. I assume that's who that is. Losing his fourth rounder.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman loses his third, so that's solid. And Mike Thomas losing his seventh. That's really good.
No one's feeling bad for him, by the way. I wish I had those three guys in any keeper league.
That's great, yeah. I wouldn't care if I lost my first three picks, and he's got his third, fourth, and seventh. Does he draft Fitz, Cooper, A.J., or Evans in the first round, and in fifth take Ajay and Duke for bench, or take Fournette, D. Cook, Barkley with his first rounder, and put one of the three in D. Johnson, Freeman, and one of the above on my bench, and then draft Fitz or Cooper in second round, and then Watkins or Marquise Lee? He's getting way too specific on the players that he could get. There's no flex. It's PPR. So, he's got his. He's basically saying, I have my two running backs locked up and a top-notch receiver. Do I come in strong with the third running back to have on my bench, or do I go with my second solid wide receiver?
The problem is the wide receivers aren't
great. Who else is being kept?
That's also true. Yeah. I'm taking one of those. There's no way I can pass. If he can take Garrett Barkley, there's no way I can pass that up. I'm not passing up the what's likely the fifth overall pick in most drafts for a second rounder in A.J. Green or Cooper, you know, or Fitz. If I'm not going anywhere that far down the list for Fitz or Evans. If I had to trade one of these guys, I have to trade one of these guys. But running backs get hurt all the time anyway. So I just can't pass that up. There's no way I can pass up Barkley, Fournette, or Cook. That's the order I have them in. I can't do it. I just can't. You know, it'd be different if there was a top-notch receiver there. Julio Jones, if AB, that's easy. I'm talking after maybe the big three. But if Julio Jones was there or someone like that, maybe I could consider that. But I have a hard time not taking best player available. And you're talking all three of those guys. I guess Cook is on the borderline. But all three of those guys are pretty much first-round picks. I can't pass up on them.
To give you a sense of what happened to me in a league last year, by the way, I hit the over. I'm not dead, and it's 11:47. So
yeah, I lost that bet.
David Johnson, I took as a first overall pick last year in a draft instead of Le'Veon, and I had Dalvin Cook in the third. And coming out of the draft, I was like, I'm in good shape, and it looked good for about 10 minutes of the season last year. And David Johnson went down. And then I was like, all right, because it was a league where I only have to start one plus a flex. I was like, all right, I'll just roll with Cook. And for like 2 weeks, I was like, I'm good. I'm okay without David Johnson. And then he got hurt. And then it was like Marshawn Lynch and Isaiah Crowell. And it was a whole mess of people. I ended up making the playoffs and lost. But I tell that anecdotal piece because that could happen. So I'm with George on this one. If you're getting that level of running back, I'll take the bench guy, and then I know I'll still get somebody pretty good in that second round, depending on how many you kept.
You should be, even if you don't like the fact that you took three starting running backs, which I get it. You know, you have David Johnson, you have Freeman, and you have, let's just say, Barkley. You know, you have these three. You should be able to deal one of these guys. And by the way, another reason I'm doing this is I don't expect Freeman to play anywhere near 16 games. He's got a concussion history. You can't convince me. I don't care how much you try that he, with a concussion history of running back who leaves with his helmet an awful lot. I don't care about these new rules by Goodell. He's going to get hit in the head a truckload. You can't tell me he's not suffering another concussion. And with a concussion, with a history of concussions, A, he's more susceptible to them, and B, they tend to keep you out longer. So, first of all, if I'm a Freeman owner, I want Tevin Coleman on my team. Which is another reason I don't like drafting Freeman, because now I got to draft Coleman. But I don't expect him to play 16 games either. That's another reason that I'm taking one of these top running backs, because Freeman ends up becoming my backup. That's really what he is. He's my backup in case I need somebody. And he'll be the guy I try to deal.
By the way, as an aside, you mentioned Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman is somebody you really should consider in keeper leagues at an advanced rate, because it's unlike, he's the type of running back. There aren't a lot, but he is the type that could see some bidding on the open market if you give him, because he'll be up at the end of this year. You could see somebody going out and paying Tevin Coleman to be their starting running back, correct? Is that fair to say?
Oh, I think that's very fair to say. It won't be Atlanta. They're not going to be able to afford him.
I agree. So they, you know, they're just loaded up on Matty Ice and Julio some more money, and they've already paid Devonta Freeman. So Tevin Coleman is a guy that, think about the league that I'm in, where it is a three-round penalty. Like, I don't know exactly where he's going to go, but he's the type of guy that could be a starting running back in another city next year. And I think I'll be targeting him. I hope nobody from that league is listening, but I will absolutely be targeting him. Even if I took him in the fifth, could he be a second round pick next year? Seems lofty, but depending on the scenario, it might be actually worth the risk. So, and he's a guy that I kind of want now anyway, because I think you're getting him at pretty good value. So enough about that. We're going to blow through the Chargers over under here, and then we'll close out on Cowboys Bengals. And I want to get your thoughts specifically on Zeke. Over under is 9.5, and the money is just about even. It's even on the over. So, hosting the Chiefs. George, you hear me?
Oh, we're doing the win-loss right away. I'm going to give them
a
win.
Yes. Yep. Okay. At Bills.
Yeah, win.
At Rams.
Loss.
Not that it means at Rams. It means to drive it down the street, but still, it's the Rams. Niners hosting.
Tough game. Give them a W.
Hosting the Raiders.
W.
4-1, good start at Cleveland.
Listen, like the Browns a whole lot, it's still a W.
Hosting Tennessee. That'd be a good game. That's a London.
That will be a good game.
It says 9:30 a.m. I think they're in London.
Oh, God, that is a London game. I hate those. In some ways, I like the London games because, yeah, it's football on all day from 9:30 a.m. until midnight. But
I'm always on air. I can never watch it.
Why not?
I'm always on air. I can't, like, I can't
wherever
watch
you are, you have a TV. If you're in studio, you have a TV.
But
at home, you have a TV.
I can't watch it.
Still, is it kind of different, though? Well, I mean, I got used to it last year while doing Fantasy Football Live while watching all the games. But it's kind of cool to be able to watch a game when you're not used to while doing a show. Anyway, back to Tennessee. I'm going to say give them a W.
Whoa, 6-1 into the bye week. Who'd you
give
have them
a
lose
W.
to? Rams, yeah. All right, then at Seattle.
When we did Seattle, I gave them a win, so I'll give them a win.
At Oakland.
I'm going to give a loss here. I'm going to go. It's going to be an upset for the Raiders here. Yeah, I'm going to give a loss.
It's all right. Still 7-2. Hosting Denver.
When do they play Denver?
They play at Denver in week 17.
Right, because I'm going 1-1 with Denver, so I'll give them a win here.
8-2. Hosting the Cardinals.
9-2.
At Pittsburgh. Come on now.
9-3.
Bengals hosting them.
10-3.
10-3. At the Chiefs. That's a tough one.
That is. It's always tough to play against KC. It'll be odds are to be cold. It's a Thursday night game too. I'm going to give a loss.
Hosting the Ravens.
Win.
Yep. So that's 11, and you have them losing at Denver.
I have losing at Denver. 11-5. 1-1. 11-5. It sounds about right to me.
I've seen a lot of people go through that, and at an over-under of 9.5, if you feel like you can get to 11, I think there's value there in that bet. So it's a fairly big number in a division that is, I think they are the best. I think they'll be the best. I think they'll be better than the Chiefs. I think they're better than the Broncos, and I definitely think they're better than the Raiders. So I think right now I like that Chargers over. So let's go to Bengals, Cowboys. First thing I need to tell you, so Kevin and Walsh and I are going to be in this Grandin Street Tavern League. It's next Saturday is the draft. We have the third pick. PPR League, who's your third pick?
Kevin talked to me about this yesterday as well.
Oh, he did?
It's funny, but his pick and your pick. The funny thing is, and you know, we all had the same third pick overall, which is Ezekiel Elliott, but we differ at the top. I'm with you. You know, I don't remember exactly what it was, but my three are Todd Gurley, Bell, Ezekiel Elliott. I know Kevin had David Johnson.
Mine's Bell, Gurley, Zeke.
Yeah, and I mean, I get his reasoning, you know, and I like David Johnson, I do. But I worry what's going to happen when that switch comes over from Bradford, you know, to Rosen. You know, what happens there?
It comes down to this for me. If I'm ranking the offenses, Rams, Steelers, Cowboys, Cardinals, the Cardinals are fourth. The Cardinals are fourth of those offenses. Right?
Yeah, I can't argue with you. They're definitely fourth out of those offenses. I can't argue with you at all because I agree. You know, they're gonna have their issues here. This is nothing against David Johnson. I already mentioned the league I'm playing in today. If he's available with that sixth overall pick, because Todd Gurley's the keeper, so is Ezekiel Elliott, I will have to give him serious consideration because I want a top running back there. And it's a two-quarterback league, but I want to wait on quarterbacks because I have picks 10 and 15. I think I can still get two decent quarterbacks. I'm almost positive I can. So I have no issues against David Johnson. But, you know, I like Gurley better. I like Bell better. I like Ezekiel Elliott better. You know, I understand that people are going to say Ezekiel Elliott's in the same situation. I sort of agree, but the offensive line's better. You know, Zach Martin, it looks like he avoided a bad injury last night. They think he has a hyperextended knee, no ligament damage, so he should be ready for week one. So it's just that in some ways we're splitting hairs here. We're looking for a reason to choose one over the other. But I have Ezekiel Elliott hard. I think he'll certainly get more touchdowns.
I agree. So that's where I'm at. I'm taking Zeke 1.03. Kevin Walsh has DJ 1.01, which, look, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to bash him about that. I think it's wrong, but I'm not going to bash him because we're talking about the elite running backs. I just have Zeke third, and I have Johnson. I guess I have him fourth, but I even like Kamara in some instances. Now, I understand the regression that should happen with Kamara, the long plays and all that kind of stuff, but I could see him getting loaded up on touches in that first month and really getting off to a good start. But anyway, so you have Zeke at three. Got that. Dak Prescott, as a Cowboys fan, I wasn't here when we did the NFC East preview. You did that with Kevin. So what are your thoughts on Dak Prescott?
He is what he is. I think he's an average NFL quarterback. He can run a little bit. He's not a totally fleet of foot, but he can escape the pocket. The problem is, I don't think
it matters. That touchdown pass, by the way. That was a really nice play.
The problem is they have no one to throw to. And everything is short. And this has been with the Cowboys for years now. Ever since Tony Romo's been gone, everything is short. They don't throw the ball to the secondary at all. You know, they want to win games 20-17, 21-20. The defense is better, where it's probably above average as far as the NFL is concerned. It's not great by any means, and the secondary still has issues. If they can ever acquire Earl Thomas, we'll have a different conversation here. But they don't throw the ball to the secondary at all. No Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten. The average fan can't even name you the Dallas tight end, and it probably doesn't matter. You know, your number one receiver is Allen Hurns. Good luck with that. Terrence
Blake
Williams.
Blake Jarwin got a lot of action last night.
Right, he may be your number one, which is kind of scary. You know, the passing game is going to be ugly for Dallas, but unless someone breaks out from that passing game, Zeke's going to see an awful lot of eight men in the box. You know, and Dak Prescott, even if someone breaks out, Dak Prescott has to hit that person. The person to watch in the Dallas passing game is Gallup, the third-round pick. He does look good. He looks like he can be something, but we're not talking a guy who's going to end up being a pure NFL number one. You know, he's not going to end up being the next Julio Jones or someone like that, but he could be a productive wide receiver in the NFL. But this is why, Mike, and I've said this many times, when Dallas passed over Calvin Ridley, I thought they made a huge mistake in the draft. I mean, a huge mistake. They needed someone like him to boost this receiving core, and they're going to have issues in the passing game all season long.
Yeah, Allen Hurns currently going 47th in PPR leagues at wide receiver. I think you get some value there, but as George said, it's going to be a really low-volume passing attack, especially if they can remain efficient in the run game. But you're just getting value there. If Hurns is your fourth wide receiver, so be it. You just got to be aware there may not be upside. We didn't really get a chance to go to the Bengals. Dalton, we know, there's no value there in a 1QB league. A.J. Green currently going 8th behind Davante Adams in front of Mike Evans and T.Y. Hilton. I'd rather have him over Evans and probably over T.Y. Hilton considering the current injury history. As far as running backs are concerned, I still have major questions about their offensive line. I don't love Joe Mixon as the 13th running back off the board. Give me Devontae Freeman, maybe even give me Jordan Howard in that range. So sorry we couldn't get to all of it, but we did as much as we could. George, it's great to work with you again, buddy.
Always good to talk to you too, Mike. Feel
Fantasy
better.
Football Frenzy is next with Corey and George.